And it's great to be with you.
It's great to have you here, especially at such a timely period in our lives, not only locally, but nationally. Let's start local with the announcement yesterday of the proposed I-10 toll bridge for truckers only. Tell us your thoughts and reasonings behind that philosophy and what kind of feedback you're getting.
Well, I'm getting mixed feedbacks, which does not surprise me. We expected that. You know, part of my campaign was about working to finish the bridge project, which got shut down a couple of years ago. I met with the governor, and I was really surprised and pleased when she shared with me that they were working on a plan B. They had not forgotten about it, and this is what has come from their efforts. When I say there, I'm talking about the Mobile and the Baldwin County side that they worked with the governor putting this plan together, and it's piecemeal. There's basically going to be three phases, as we can tell right now, and things are apt to change. But the first phase is to build the first bridge. They need to free up the traffic, a lot of wrecks in the tunnels, obviously, that involve 18-wheelers and on the causeway itself. So it will push all the truck traffic up over the new bridge, and it will put it onto the causeway, or the bayway as we refer to it. The bayway will be striped where it will be three lanes. And I know everyone panics when they hear that part, but they're going to have to build some little turnouts in between the bayways where they can literally pull wrecked vehicles or broke down vehicles into a safe place. On the west end and the south side, west side and south side, there will be a quick response team there, which will be a wrecker, you know, with a couple of gallons of gas and the capabilities of moving a wreck off the causeway. So that'll be the first phase. And yes, there is a fee they'll charge on the truck portion of it. What I just talked about there is about $700 million. We've got $125 million from the feds already. Congressman Burns, and thank God for Richard Shelby, got that squared away for us. The state's going to put about $250 with it. Then they will bond the remainder amount, and that's what the trucking fees will actually pay for, is that bonded amount. So in phase two, they will build a second bridge. And the second bridge will obviously be truck and car traffic. And then, of course, phase three will be actually replacing the causeway itself, or the bayway, I keep calling it causeway, the bayway itself, with a much higher, newer structure. So it's still in the early phases. There's a lot of hurdles to overcome. There's a lot of things already in place that we can use. But it's a step in the right direction.
Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson said yesterday that they had met with some type of trucker association, and the feedback was okay concerning a toll. But when you watch the channel, any channel of news, later that evening they talk to truckers and there is a pushback to the toll. What do you really feel is going on as far as the trucker toll is concerned?
Yeah, well, you can't expect the trucking association to endorse it, first of all. There's a lot of tolls that they have to pay nationwide, and they're certainly not going to endorse this one. By endorsing this one, they're going to have to endorse all of them. I was encouraged by the fact that they didn't come out adamantly against it. That the interviews I've seen you talk about are independent truckers that they've just stopped at truck stops and got their feedback and their input. But what do you want to put up? How can we come up with the money? Are we going to spend another 25-30 years talking about this project? Or we start moving in some direction? And I still think this is a good direction.
Yeah, it's a catch-22. You kept hearing the catchphrase, no tolls, no tolls, but it's got to be paid for somehow. And this does take the burden off of the individual taxpayers indirectly. We may see a slight increase on a product because of that, but in the long run.
Well, right now there's a fee on there that most people don't know about. Every truck that goes through that tunnel has a $50 addition to their bill of lading. So that whole truck, it may be split up. I mean, it may be pennies on the products that in there, but the trucking company knows at some point, place, and time that truck's gonna get broke down on one side or the other, or stopped due to traffic flow. So they're already putting 50 on there. And what this plan says is, okay, you pay 10, 12. The most they're talking about is $15, but let's just say $12. They can literally take that $50 off. So it's where we ultimately it winds up in our lap, or you know, are paying $50 now, it can literally be cut down to 12.
I was not aware of that tunnel fee, if you will. So this would eliminate that and actually save the money.
It's a self-imposed fee that they impose on their trucks, because they know that their trucks are going to get broke down or held up because of that tunnel and the bayway traffic. So they automatically add $50 to the load.
Hmm, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
It's not a tax. It's almost a self-tax themselves, but it's just business. So I don't think, long story short, I don't think the trucking industry is going to come out adamantly be against it.
Okay, very good.
The idea of them having their own bridge in their own lane is a pretty positive thing.
And what the research is showing is that a lot of the tie-ups and the traffic are because of the truckers, especially having to slow down to enter the curve in the tunnel and come back out.
And the bayway itself, coming onto the bayway, especially right there by Ralph and Cacu's, there's a lot of wrecks right there where trucks are coming up that ramp and they're moving a little slow, you know, to get into the flow of traffic. There's a lot of wrecks right there too. Again, the trucks are going to have their own. They're going to have their own lane going across that bayway.
And we don't have to pay for it.
Eliminate a lot.
Thank you, Congressman. The big topic nationally is immigration and illegals crossing our border by the thousands. Is it true they're actually being housed in hotels paid for by the government?
I haven't verified that. I don't know where else they would put them, though, because they've run out of space. Everything that was actually built under the Trump administration is full to capacity. I can't verify that at this point. I'm not in D.C. I don't have access to some of the information. So I'm assuming that that's correct. I don't know. I truly don't know.
We hear so much in the media and often don't know what to believe. The Biden administration says we're simply undoing Trump's mess. Trump's people say, keep doing what we were doing. You're creating a new mess. Where is the truth?
My mother always told me that there's great strength in admitting when you're wrong. And because you're telling people, I'm human, I've made a mistake, I recognize that mistake, and I'm correcting it. People find respect in that. And there's just no respect in this administration. They won't admit there's a border crisis there. You've got kids that are crossing there, quote-unquote kids. I'm around a lot of these congressmen that have been down there and viewed it themselves. I'll be down there in a couple of weeks, and I'll get the tour also. But so many of these quote-unquote kids that are coming across are not children. We're talking about they're claiming to be 14, 15 years old. In reality, they're 20, 22, 23. They know by taking declaring their age to be a minor, they get special treatment and they will not be sent back. So they come across the border declaring that. So we've got a real problem there with what they call the minor issue, which are the young people that are coming across the border that may or may not be 20, they may be 16. I don't know. I'm not there. But I think it's a decoy. I think we've got some real problems. You know, I'm a business-minded person. I'm always trying to look at the business side of things. I think these coyotes and the cartels have got it figured out. That they're pushing these quote-unquote kids across a certain point the government, all of our resources are being taken up by trying to deal with these children coming across and housing them and feeding them and doing the things that we should do. We should do. We should take care of the young folks. But, you know, up the river, down the river, somewhere on the border, they're crossing these thousands of pounds of methamphetamines and all these drugs, and it's just poisoning America. I challenge anybody to stop and think, do you know anyone in your family or your friends and their family that has not been touched by the illegal drug industry in this country, and it's coming across that border. So, you know, everybody says, well, how are you going to fix it? Continue building the wall. Let's stop up some of where the crossings at. Let's work with the Mexican government. Let's make sure Mexico understands we're not going to take your overflow.
Is there actually
you
a
can
chance?
Stop them at,
excuse me, sir.
You can stop them at the south border, but you know, stop them before they come out of El Salvador and Nicaragua. And they're supposed to be walking 1,100 miles to get to the U.S. border. I mean, you got plenty of time to let them know you're not coming across. Whatever your age is, you're not coming across.
Is there a chance of that actually happening, continuing the wall, working with Mexico, and saying no?
Under this administration, no, because they are so focused on undoing everything Trump's administration has done. I got to fly real quickly. I got to fly, and I can't tell you a whole lot, but I was on an airplane with a young man that's in the Marine Corps, and his job was the border issue. And he was almost in tears talking about how much time and effort and all the positive things that they were seeing happening down on the border. And now it's just everything's totally destroyed. They just got the doors wide open, and they're just saying, come join us. You get across that river, you'll be one of us. So the immigrants are flooding in here. There's a lot of bad people mixed in with these good people. We busted last week, I think they caught four that was on a terrorist watch list. So if they caught four, I'm just curious how many got across that we don't know about.
Absolutely.
So the administration is just really, they don't want to admit wrong, and I don't know where this is going. The Democrats themselves are beginning to push back on Biden and his administration because it's going to be a real problem for them coming election time. But anybody that thinks that that border issue doesn't affect them, they better stop and think. The drugs they're bringing across the border today, in 24 hours, are going to be in Mobile and being dispensed out into our streets to our kids. So you need to get angry, you need to get involved, and we need to get that border and stop that bleeding and come up with a reasonable immigration plan. And these people that truly need our help, I want to help them. No problem with that, but we're talking about two different issues here, though. But you can't mix the immigration issue up with what's just being a flood across the border now, because this is not immigration. This is just a migration of people that see a way to get into the Holy Lands, and you know, with Biden right now, what he's talking about doing is making every one of them American citizens. With that said, how many more you think are on the way?
Speaking of, we could go on and on about this issue. It's extremely frustrating because you're laying out ideas of what should be done, but basically in the saying, it can't be done under the current administration. Well, there's really no recourse out of this, is what you're saying.
Sure there is, but I just don't see any signs of it. I mean, we all can change the way we are and how we do things, but I just don't see any signs of the Biden administration. The Biden administration is so busy trying to take care of all the special interest groups that the border is just a nuisance to them. You know, the border should not be an issue for any of us to talk about.
Right.
You know, we had problems at the Capitol. They ran and put a fence up and threw military all around us, 3,000 National Guard troops, and with all with automatic weapons. But it's not okay to protect the average citizen at the border, because these are Americans that we're having to protect. These are Americans' properties and farms and cities that are being overran by just a wave of people that continuously keeps coming. Some point, place, and time, we have to say we're doing it wrong and fix it. We just have to.
We're speaking with U.S. Congressman Jerry Carl here at WABF. It is 8:37. You mentioned, we have so much to talk about, I don't know if we're going to have time. You mentioned before the interview you wanted to make sure to talk about Go Mesa for us here locally.
Mesa. Go Mesa is actually a self-imposed tax on the oil industry for the drilling out in the Gulf. And that money comes, that tax money comes from the oil companies. It comes to local governments in coastal counties. So here it affects Baldwin and Mobile County. With President Biden on January 26, he did an executive order, which he did an indefinite moratorium on all new oil and gas leases in federal waters. So today we will file a bill. It's called the Gulf Conservation, Recreation, and Funding Protection Act. I know that's a mouthful. What we are asking the Department of Interior to do is whatever our losses are. Last year we got $26 million. If we only get $22 million this year, if we get $12 million, we want our money that we should have received from their budget. Real simple. You cut it off, you pay for it, because we as a local government have already anticipated that money coming in. That's figured in our budgets. That's what builds our oyster reefs. That's what a lot of our drainage issues are used for. The big boat launch that they're building over in Baldwin County, that's Go Mesa money.
Okay.
Go Mesa money is extremely important to local government. Very important. So we're just asking the Department of Interior, hey, you want to cut it off? You make up the difference out of your budget back to my local governments.
Okay.
We've got pretty much a bipartisan agreement around the Gulf Coast, which would be Florida, Mississippi, obviously Louisiana, and Texas. So we're going to file it today and at least make a little noise.
Very good. Are we making noise about proposed gun control?
Not yet, because that's really just come up in the last couple of days. I think we've all done a pretty good job of letting the Biden administration know where we are, just the American people have. I have real issues with the Second Amendment rights in the government trying to fool with those. First of all, I think federal government don't understand anything about firearms. An assault weapon truly is, the term means automatic weapons. And I may know two people in my big group of hunting friends that own automatic weapons. They're registered with the federal government. They've got such so to call them a assault rifle, I think what they're trying to say is anything that's automatic. Well, that takes in 70%+ of all guns that are sold. And this is what I want everyone to be very cautious on, because they can change that definition very easily. So they're going to get a lot of pushback from us. I think they're going to get a lot of pushback from their own people, the Democrat parties. We all protect our homes with weapons. We protect our businesses with weapons. And according to the Second Amendment, last time I read it, we the people have a right to keep and bear arms to defend ourselves from any infringement from rogue governments, too. So I think the Biden's just making a lot of noise. I think he can get a distraction from his border issue. I think he can get a distraction from the amount of money he's spending. He's just, you know, don't let a crisis go bad. I think he's using this shooting in Colorado, which is horrible, horrible. I think he's just using that as a distraction. And of course, if he comes after our Second Amendment rights, you're going to see some real problems in this country. And it won't be from your elected officials. It'll be from John Smith citizen, because they will become an outrage at that point.
Therefore, protecting ourselves from rogue governments.
Yes, and also our homes and our dwellings from people from, you know, that's just a big issue. That's that we should be able to protect our families. the way we want to protect them. That's what the Second Amendment is written for.
Absolutely.
Rogue governments.
Do you think President Biden, in your own personal observation, is physically and or mentally stable and strong enough to serve in his capacity? We've all seen the bridge, trip on the steps. Most of us have seen the video where he seemed to wander lost along the tarmac until someone took him by the shoulder and guided him in the right direction. Tell us what you observe.
I haven't been, other than inauguration, I was there for that, but I haven't been around him any other time and seen much. What I've seen on TV, though, same thing you've seen, I think there's some real challenges there. I serve in Congress with Ronnie Jackson, and Ronnie was a physician for three different presidents. And Ronnie tells me he has a lot of signs there that should be signals to everyone that some problems going on. Please be praying that he holds out. We need him to stay right where he's at and serve this four-year term, because what we don't need is Harris in there. We don't need Nancy Pelosi in there. We don't need the other options that are going to follow in behind him. So I encourage all your listeners, please be praying for the president, for his health, for his well-being, for all of us, for that matter, that serve. So, but I think there, to answer your question, give you a straight answer, yes, ma'am, I think there's some real problems there.
Thank you. We're speaking with U.S. Congressman Jerry Carl here from Mobile, here at WABF. It is 844 and 62 degrees. What's next for the Republican Party, for former President Trump? What's going on behind the scenes that can give folks on the right side some hope?
Well, I'll tell you, I got excited the other night when the president spoke, and I watched it, and he said there was not going to be a second party. I've met with some of the Trump folks. The Trump folks they're not committing what the president's going to do. I think we may see some stuff out of Donald Jr. Than some of the Trump children, which I find that even more exciting, because they've certainly got his mentality, and they've got his fire about them. I don't know if the president, if I was in his shoes, Lord, no, I would not want to get back in this briar patch, but that's something he's going to have to decide, and 3 years from now or earlier. But he's still a force to reckon with. I mean, he's still got he can still make a phone call or show up or endorse somebody, and it's a blessing. So it'll be interesting to watch and see what the next 3 years brings. Donald Trump is not going away. People that want him to go away, he's not going away.
I try to imagine myself in your shoes, and I'm just wondering, are there like blood pressure medicine dispensers at every corner there? How do you deal with the frustration?
I get in my room by myself and just scream sometime. But, I volunteered for this. Congressman Burns did a great job getting me prepped, telling me what was going to happen, how it was going to happen, the frustrations I was going to have to deal with. So I just deal with it. It's just like running a business, and you show up every day and, Lord, I just hope I can make payroll. And, you just sweat through all these issues of running a business. And I face it the same way in Washington. I go to bed at night just discouraged and tore up and wore out. And I get up the next morning, face myself in the mirror and go, one more day.
Yeah.
We're just going to keep pushing. And if we're going to save this country, we're going to save it from its own self, which right now has become a socialist agenda in Washington. We can't give up. I mean, we've got to stand there and just keep fighting, because the American people are not stupid. The voters are not stupid, and I say that honestly. A lot of them aren't involved, but when you start stepping on Second Amendment rights, and when you start figuring out, oh my Lord, all these drugs poured in the street, the governments actually could stop that, and people start looking at that stuff, they'll start making some phone calls to their elected officials and start rattling that chain and wake them up. I mean, I hate to use the woke word, but, you know, wake them up.
Well, I think it was a wake-up call with the possibility of election fraud. Are you satisfied with measures that have been put in place since the election to prevent something like that again?
Well, and I don't remember if I talked to you about this or not, but it's not the federal government that's going to fix elections. They're going to make it much, much worse. And there's a bill in the Senate right now that will basically federalize all federal elections, and it's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I tell you just one part of it that will infuriate your listeners. According to that bill, for every $100 I raise, the government, your tax dollars, gives me $600 as a candidate.
Wait a minute. Say that again.
It's the one match.
Say that again.
For every $100 I raise, the federal government will give me as a candidate, just whoever's running, just me, a $600 match. So it's basically, under this bill, the federal government starts financing campaigns.
And this is for federal offices only?
Yes, yes. So this is obviously your House, Senate, and President's
yes.
race.
Is there any matching fund currently?
No. Heavens no.
Of course not. That's crazy.
You want to run. Either you raise the money yourself or you pay it out of your own pocket. But what you'll see is you'll see the Democrat Party, they may have 10 people that want to run. I mean, it's a great way to make money if you think about it, a 6-to-1 match.
What about the law that you can only spend it on campaigning, so if there's anything left, it's not like you can go to Aruba with it?
Okay, well, how many of these elected officials that run campaigns that have family that run their campaign? I think Sheila Jackson's a good example. Her daughter has ran her campaign and made millions
on
her campaign. So there's ways of moving money out. I'm not privy to that and don't really want to know, but hiring family is a very, very common thing in these campaigns.
The last thing, I suppose, before we run out of time, unless you have something else, is the COVID relief bill, if you will, the $1.9 trillion package. I've heard about the small percentage that it is actually providing residents. What are your thoughts on that?
9% of that $1.9 trillion, 9%, less than 10%. Goes towards COVID packages of some type.
I heard that.
The majority of that won't kick into place until 2023, 2024, and 2025. And that'll go through to the school systems. Why do we need them today? Okay, so the 9%, we're talking about just 9% here. There's $1 trillion sitting dormant from the last four bills that we passed. So there's $1 trillion unspent. And they come up with this $1.9 trillion, and we said, you're right, we need to help, we need to work towards especially bringing our businesses back up and getting things cranked back up in this country. Let's use that first trillion first, and then we'll focus, if we need more after that, putting the bill together after that. They didn't want to do that. They wanted the $1.9, so now basically what they're sitting on is $2.9 trillion. And they're like a bunch of drunk sailors that just hit port. I mean, they are. You're going to see money thrown at San Francisco and Cincinnati and New York City and all these blue cities that have had so many problems through the summer. You're just going to see huge amounts of money get moved into those cities to balance their books. So we're going to pay for all the rioting and looting and stuff that's happened over the summer.
Is there anything else, Congressman, you would like to mention that I have not thought to ask yet before we run out of time?
The only thing I encourage your listeners to watch and watch very closely is Biden is talking about a $3 trillion infrastructure package. I'm willing to bet that for the nation, $3 trillion more.
For infrastructure, then we should have a new Bayway Bridge without a toll.
That's what I'm getting at. What you're going to find is this infrastructure package is the Green New Deal It's just going to have a different color lipstick on it. It's still the Green New Deal that's going to be labeled that way, but it's going to actually be an infrastructure pack. I mean, a package of energy projects. So, I agree with you. We should have our bridge in there, but we're trying. We will never stop trying to come up with more funding for the bridge. But they're more interested in the Green New Deal, than which, again, is being relabeled as an infrastructure package, than they are our bridge system. I'll tell you that.
Trillion has become the new billion. I mean, most of us can't conceive $1 trillion, and a billion is a lot, and now they're tossing around trillions like it means almost nothing.
I'm trying to remember, during the campaign, I would say I think it was $12 trillion. You take them in dollar bills and stack them up, you can go around the moon 8.5 times.
Yikes.
I mean, that's the kind of numbers we're talking about. But
what kind of problems does that amount of national debt cause us? I mean, we've always had it, but now it's more than ever.
Well, no, in the early 80s, we got down pretty low. We got pretty darn close to paying, in the late 80s, mid-80s, we got pretty darn close to paying debt off. And the COVID has really caught, the Trump administration added to the cost once COVID broke out. But the Biden or the Democrat Party right now is really, really, really taking over. And it's just no accountability. But it makes us like Greece, where people don't want to loan you money. When they do loan you money, the interest rate's high. So when the interest rate's high, the money that you're borrowing from in your debt, it just keeps climbing. I keep a clock on just to remind myself every once in a while, just how I'm trying to pull it up here real quick, on the national debt, just so you can watch it. It's a free app you can download. But it'll give you the debt clock.
Really?
Debt clock today. Oh, yeah. So the debt clock at this moment is $88,302,000. And it's going up as we're speaking.
Of
it's
course.
Going up. It's just went up $100,000 in a 10-second period.
Wow. A debt clock app. Wow.
So per debtor, per taxpayer, we're in debt $224,000 each. Each. That's a taxpayer, not individuals, just taxpayers. So, and you're going to throw another $3 trillion on top of that? That'll put us somewhere around $31-32 trillion in debt. We can't do it.
But as it stands right now, the current configuration, the Republicans don't have the majority, so it will be like a 2 or 3 vote down to the wire type of situation until at least the congressional election in 2022, if not the presidential in 2024.
2022 is, and I'm already started. I had a meeting last night with a group of local businessmen. I mean, we've got to focus on not just my race, but we've got to focus on 12 or 15 other races that we can possibly flip those seats, because we've got to take control of the House. I'd love to take control of the Senate too, and we can stop a lot of this bleeding. We truly can if we just sit down and then start working together and quit being so one-sided. Because there's a lot of good Democrats that are in office. My Republican friends may stone me for that, but one from Hawaii, he's big on Second Amendment rights. He's going to be a hard one they're going to have to deal with on our Second Amendment issues. He's big. He loves his AR-15. And there are some Democrats that truly feel like our national debt is going to destroy this country. So we've got to get in a position where we've got some bargaining power. But when the Democrat Party has control of both houses and the president, there's no negotiating.
Thank you, Congressman. Your time is very valuable.